Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the radio broadcast. Today is Monday, May 2nd, 2022. Now, the title of this program, I like this title. I came up with it about, I guess, 9 years ago. Voice for my Iranian friends. It's called The Cross in the Desert, and the subtitle is Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, because I talk about the issues, the discrimination, the oppression of my lives, of my Iranian friends. But I have to say something this morning just a little different. Let me try it this way. The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to America. Yeah, that's right, Speaking Hope and Freedom to America. Because what I report on all the time that's happening in the dictatorship iron lung of Iran is happening in my own backyard. That's right, ever since the purchase of Twitter by Elon Musk, the left has been having an ongoing emotional meltdown. Now, why? It's because of that three words that terrifies them the most. The three words are, of course, freedom of speech. We can't have that. Well, guess what? It seems like shortly after that, and this has been around for a little while, but it seems like shortly after that, President Biden has set up what's called the Disinformation Bureau. And this morning on The Cross in the Desert, I want to take a very, very important, detailed look at what in the world is the Disinformation Bureau. And in order to help me do that, I have a good friend who explains it very well, much better than I can. I want you to listen to about 5 minutes of Tucker Carlson from just a few nights ago, right now on The Cross in the Desert.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson tonight. When Elon Musk first announced that he was buying Twitter, it was pretty obvious the Democratic Party would soon become unhinged, not just angry or annoyed in the way you're very used to, but instead legitimately terrified and hysterical. Imagine how you'd feel if an armed intruder broke into your home at 3 in the morning. You couldn't exactly know where things were going, but you'd be dead certain that everything was at stake. That's how Democrats feel right now. Because, in fact, everything is at stake. Joe Biden cannot continue to control this country if you have free access to information. It's that simple. Biden certainly is not improving your life. He's not even trying to improve your life. So the best he can do is lie to you and demand that you believe it. But to do that, he needs to make certain that nobody else can talk, because if you were to hear the truth, you might not obey. How is Biden going to pull that off? It's not easy. Well, one option would be to get men with guns to tell you to shut up. Most Americans probably haven't thought of that because this isn't Africa or Eastern Europe. This is America, and we don't do things like that here and never have. Or more precisely, we haven't until now. But now Joe Biden is president and everything is different. So today, to herald the coming of the new Soviet America, the administration announced its own Ministry of Truth. This will be called the Disinformation Governance Board. Laugh if you want, but just to show you they're not kidding around here, this board is not part of the State Department or any other agency focused on foreign threats from abroad. No. The Disinformation Governance Board is part of the Department of Homeland Security. DHS is a law enforcement agency designed to police the United States, and that, by the way, has a famously large stockpile of ammunition. So it's not a joke at all. Here's DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We have just established a Mis- and Disinformation Governance Board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our homeland security.
Oh, so one of America's top law enforcement officers just announces to the Congress that actually we're going to be policing what you say, and everyone in the room kind of nods, oh, yeah, it's totally normal. But here's what he didn't say. So America's told us that disinformation is a threat to homeland security. Now, he's the head of the Department of Homeland Security, so presumably he would know, since assessing threats to homeland security is his job. But what he didn't tell us is how he's defining disinformation. So here you have this new and terrifying thing that the Biden administration is so concerned about that it's created a new agency to fight it, but Mayorkas never said or even hinted as to what it might be. So the man in charge of the Disinformation Governing Board never defined disinformation. It's almost unbelievable when you think about it. Would you declare war on a country you couldn't name? Would you sentence someone to death for a crime you couldn't describe? Of course you wouldn't, not if you were a sane and decent person. Because you can't have justice without precise definitions. That's why we have very large books of law that define what is allowed and what is not. But they're not defining the core concept at the heart of what is effectively a new law enforcement agency. Maybe that's because Mayorkas doesn't want justice, and neither does the president he serves. They want power. And to get power, they plan to control what you think. Watch Mayorkas explain.
We have so many different efforts underway to equip local communities to identify individuals who very well could be descending into violence by reason of ideologies of hate, false narratives, or other disinformation and misinformation propagated on social media and other platforms.
Oh. Did you know that? So one of our biggest law enforcement agencies has men with guns around the country doing so many things to stop disinformation and false narratives. Those aren't even lies. They're just deviations from the approved script. Mayorkas told us, again, that men with guns plan to, quote, identify individuals who could be descending into violence, could be descending. Not people who've committed violence or even been accused of any crime at all. DHS is instead using law enforcement powers to identify and punish people who think the wrong things. That would be opponents of the Biden administration. Is this dystopian fiction? No, it's happening right in front of us. That means that Joe Biden's partisan political enemies are now officially enemies of the state. How is this happening in America? Good question, but it is happening. And Biden's new thought cop in chief has been revealed. She's a 33-year-old, highly self-confident young woman called Nina Jankowicz. Jankowicz comes from a place called the Wilson Center. That's a nonprofit named for America's other mentally incapacitated warmonger bigot president. Ironically, because everything is irony, the Wilson Center is itself a major producer of, yes, disinformation, but of the neocon variety, and for that reason is...
I think that most of you by this time have your jaw dropped and your eyes widened. You're saying, this can't be happening. This sounds like 1984. Well, yes, it does. It's called policing your thoughts, policing your speech, even if you have a propensity to be violent, even though you haven't become violent. We want to police everything about you. Well, I'm telling you what, like I said, speaking hope and freedom to Iran, well, now I'm speaking hope and freedom to my own country, and I want to read an article from a very fine journalist. He's a freelance writer for the Political Insider, and The name of his article is Biden Sets Up Disinformation Governance Board, headed by woman who claimed Hunter's laptop was, quote, Trump campaign product. This is Rusty Weiss, and he wrote a very eye-opening piece on this whole situation this morning. I want you to listen carefully because it's worth every word that I'm reading. President Biden's Department of Homeland Security set up a new disinformation governance board that will be headed by a woman who spread disinformation about Hunter Biden's laptop. This dystopian-sounding board will have amongst its chief members Nina Jankowicz, who will serve as executive director. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, appearing before the House Appropriations Subcommittee to discuss the fiscal 2023 budget for the department Wednesday, testified on the creation of the board. The goal is to bring the resources of Department of Homeland Security together to address this threat of, quote, disinformation or misinformation, Mayorkas said, specifically noting minority communities are typically a target of such campaigns. Jankowicz announced her role to followers on Twitter, sharing a political article that mentioned her title and stating that she is, quote, honored to be serving in the Biden administration, end quote, to help shape our counter-disinformation efforts. Incredible, isn't it? Well, let's go on. This has got to be an eye-opening article. It's rather telling that the Disinformation Governance Board falls under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security, which presumably deals with matters related to terrorism. Well, it's telling, but it's not coincidental. This past February, DHS issued a terrorism threat summary report which focused on people or organizations spreading misinformation designed to undermine trust in the government. Gee, I thought that was part of free speech. The summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. Homeland Bulletin indicates the United States is in a, quote, heightened threat environment, in particular against dis, and malinformation about election fraud and COVID. You know, you can't speak up about those things. The Department of Justice, meanwhile, announced the formation of a unit to combat domestic terrorism just days after the anniversary of the 2021 riot at the Capitol. The Biden domestic terrorism plan seeks, perhaps chillingly, to control misinformation being shared on the internet and social media. The U.S. government will work to find ways to counter the polarization often fueled by disinformation, misinformation, and dangerous conspiracy theories online, supporting an information environment that fosters healthy democratic discourse. That's what a White House fact sheet from June of 2021 reads. Multiple agencies, multiple bulletins, and multiple departments working to combat disinformation, a word used by the administration that has become really synonymous with simple speech coming from political opponents. President Biden has done more to combat so-called misinformation than he has to address inflation, fix the economy, or even tackle actual threats at the border. And you know that's absolutely true. Let's go on here. Executive Director Nina Jankowicz, and we're going to talk about her. If the administration were serious about cracking down on disinformation, they could start with their new executive director on the Disinformation Governance Board, Nina Jankowicz. Jankowicz, on multiple occasions herself, spread disinformation concerning Hunter Biden's laptop. In October of 2020, rather than crack down on misinformation, she shared it, tweeting claims from the president that roughly 50 former national intelligence officials who tried running cover for Biden in the weeks leading up to the election by saying that the laptop was a, quote, Russian smear campaign. Jankowicz has defended this tweet, saying she was simply relaying comments she heard during the presidential debate at the time in which Biden did, and in fact, spread that false information. Excuse me. However, in an article with the Associated Press the new head of the Disinformation Governance Board, was quoted as saying the Hunter Biden laptop was, quote, a Trump campaign product, end of quote. The laptop, well, of course, has been since authenticated by several major media outlets, including the New York Times and the Washington Post. Prior to that, Cenk once warned that the election would be besieged by Trump supporters promoting voter intimidation and violence. These sort of national level calls for people to show up are a recipe, frankly, for intimidation and violence, she said, regarding efforts by the RNC and Trump to recruit poll watchers. Oh, you can't have them, right? So if Nina Jankowicz were serious about combating misinformation in her new role with the Disinformation Governance Board, she wouldn't have to look much further than the president himself. Biden, in addition to calling the Hunter Biden laptop story a Russian smear campaign at the debates, made the Russian disinformation claim well after the election, responding to a question from a reporter about whether he still believes the story to be a smear campaign despite all the signs pointing to the contrary. He said, yes, yes, yes. There's plenty of other material Jankowicz could also go after as well. President Biden has made the false claim that five Capitol Police officers were killed in the January 6, 2021 riots. Look, he says, how would you feel if you saw a crowd storm and break down the doors of the British Parliament, kill five cops, injure 145, or the German Bundestag, or the Italian Parliament? Biden asked reporters, I think you'd wonder. Five cops were not killed on January 6th during the Capitol riots. Zero cops were killed. Yet some Democrats seem to keep repeating this false claim. Then, of course, there is the even more obvious example of disinformation spread by President Biden from the moment he began his election campaign right up until very recently. And you know what I'm talking about? The Charlottesville hoax. Remember that? Just last month, he again reported the false claim that his predecessor, Donald Trump, called neo-Nazis in Charlottesville fine people during a press conference at NATO headquarters. Duh. As PolitiFact points out, Biden leaves out the context of Trump explicitly saying, quote, and here it is, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. There you are, Nina. Three prominent examples of disinformation you can start combating post-haste. Hunter's laptop, January 6th, and Charlottesville. It's a short list, but we don't want to overwhelm you on your first day in your new role. In reality, this Disinformation Governance Board isn't about disinformation at all. It's about cracking down on free speech, and Jankowicz is primed for the role. In an interview with NPR last week, she relayed fears over free speech absolutists like Elon Musk taking over Twitter, a prospect, of course, which has since come to fruition. I shudder to think about if free speech absolutists were taking over more platforms, what they would look like for the marginalized communities, which are already shouldering disproportionate amounts of this abuse, she said. What makes the Biden administration shudder? Free speech. When the rest of America is shuddering at the prospect of a government takeover of misinformation or information. I want to thank Rusty Weiss for permission to read this excellent article from the Political Insider. What does this Disinformation Governance Bureau really look like? It really doesn't take a whole lot to think about that. It reminds me of Nazi propaganda and censorship. That's right. The Nazis wanted Germans to support the Nazi dictatorship and believe in Nazi ideas. To accomplish this goal, they tried to control forms of communication through censorship and propaganda. Well, this, of course, included control of newspapers, magazines, books, art, theater, music, movies, radio. How did the Nazis use censorship? Well, when the Nazis came to power in 1933, the German Constitution, it said, guaranteed freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Through decrees and laws, the Nazis abolished these civil rights and destroyed German democracy. Starting in 1934, it was illegal to criticize the Nazi government. Even telling a joke about Hitler was considered treachery. People in Nazi Germany could not say or write wherever they wanted. Examples? Censorship. Here we go. Closing down or taking over anti-Nazi newspapers. Controlling what news appeared in newspapers, on the radio, and in newsreels. Banning and burning books that the Nazis categorized as un-German, controlling what soldiers wrote home during World War II. Well, how did the Nazis utilize this propaganda? They used propaganda to promote their ideas and beliefs. Beginning in March 1933, the regime tried to centralize its propaganda efforts in a new ministry led by Joseph Goebbels. This ministry was called the Reich Ministry of Enlightenment and propaganda. Should we insert the disinformation governance board there? The Nazis used a variety of propaganda tools to spread Nazi ideas. Examples of propaganda under the Nazis included, quote, glorifying Adolf Hitler by using his image on postcards, posters, and in the press. Two, spreading negative images and ideas about Jews in magazines, films, cartoons, and other media. Three, making radios more affordable so that more Germans could listen to Nazi ideas and news. Four, broadcasting Nazi speeches on the radio and public loudspeakers. Five, organizing large and celebratory Nazi party rallies. Six, creating groups like the Hitler Youth and League of German Girls that fostered Nazi ideals. Well, how did the propaganda and the censorship work together? Textbooks are a good example of how propaganda and censorship worked together in the Nazi regime. The Nazis used both propaganda and censorship to control what students read in school. Does it sound familiar? Nazi censors removed some textbooks from classrooms. Mm-hmm. New textbooks taught students to obey the Nazi Party, love Hitler, and hate Jews. Some of the key dates, May 10, 1933. Nazi book burnings. During the spring of 1933, Nazi university student organizations, professors, and librarians put together long lists of books that they think are un-German. There was a governance board then too, right? These lists include books written by Jewish authors. They also include books by non-Jewish authors whose ideas conflict with Nazi ideals. On the night of May 10, 1933, Nazis hold book burnings. They march by torchlight in nighttime parades, sing chants, and throw books into huge bonfires. On that night, more than 25,000 books are burned. And, of course, March 28, 1935, it was the premiere of the propaganda film Triumph of the Will. Leni Riefenstahl's propaganda film Triumph of the Will premieres in Berlin. The film shows footage taken at the 1935 Nazi Party rally at Nuremberg. The footage from the rally shows smiling children, cheering crowds, and uniformed Nazis. It features military parades and a speech by Adolf Hitler. Triumph of the Will become one of the most infamous Nazi propaganda films. World War II then begins on September 1st, 1939. Afterwards, the Nazi regime makes listening to foreign radio broadcasts illegal. This is an attempt to control what information Germans hear about the war. The Nazi regime sees news and information from outside Germany as a security threat. Translation, news and information from Twitter, a security threat. Can we get any more distinct? They are worried about foreign radio broadcasts, which some Germans can access on their home radios. Later in the war, the regime even sentences people to death for listening to foreign radio stations. Now, I know you hear comparisons to Hitler and people that you don't like in the media or political figures. I know there's a lot of this that goes on. But folks, there is nothing to me that is more central to what I'm speaking about this morning than when I go through the way that Hitler managed propaganda and censorship through Joseph Goebbels. I see parallels. I see some distinct parallels going on with what the Biden administration is doing with this government governance disinformation bureau, however you want to call it, the Ministry of Truth for Biden. It's frightening. There are too many close parallels. And have we not learned from history? Don't we seek to correct our way of living through history and the examples that it brought? Well, what happened in Germany? You mean it can't happen again? It certainly can. With this kind of 1984 dystopian control of policing every word that you say, and now it's all on camera, of course, but now you can't criticize Joe Biden. You can't criticize this government because you might be one of those terrorists of the January 6th stalk. And this is going on right under our noses, isn't it? They keep saying it's a way to keep terrorism from happening. What about the terrorism that's coming in at our southern borders on a daily basis? The drugs, the cartels, the terrorists that's been on a watch list has been cited as over 42 in the last year, potential terrorists that could cause real problems. They've been apprehended at the border. But we have now, coming up at the end of May, even though it's been challenged, we could have a Title 42 onslaught of people from other countries coming in because Biden wants open borders. But he doesn't want us to have free speech. And anyone that speaks out against government corruption, they could be terrorists, and we need to do something about them. It's frightening. One of the most significant events in this last couple of weeks has been the purchase of Twitter from Elon Musk. And I know there are people that think he has ulterior motives for doing that. We'll have to wait and see. But I believe Elon believes in free speech, that he wants us to have a fair and balanced social media that is not and controlled by government operatives. I do believe that about him. And notice how this announcement of this governance board coincides with the purchase of Twitter. It's happening right before our very eyes. We are living at a time when the government wants to control everything. First, it was the mask, according to them, about COVID. But the real mask they want us to wear is the mask that prohibits us from speaking out. And if that doesn't remind us of Germany in 1933 and 1984 novel by George Orwell, then I don't know what does. We as Christians need to speak out and pray like never before. We need to do something in a constructive way to combat this horrendous attack on our freedoms. The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. Today, I'm speaking hope and freedom to America. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me this morning on The Cross in the Desert. Becky and I will be out of town, and I will see you next Thursday on The Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible week.